In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, April 11th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Judge Neil Gorsuch was sworn in as the next U.S. Supreme Court Justice yesterday in the White House Rose Garden. After a grueling confirmation process, President Trump was beaming with hope about the future.
A new optimism is sweeping across our land, and a new faith in America is filling our hearts and lifting our sights.
Travis Weber of the Family Research Council told The World View he was not surprised by the last-minute attempt on the part of the Democrats to filibuster the nomination.
The Democrats filibustered him now because they don't like the fact that he's going to be an originalist in interpreting the Constitution. They'd rather clearly have someone pushing a progressive ideology. When you look back over the history of how the court has injected itself into deciding social issues and taken on the importance it has, it's understandable that we'd see an escalation of this type of attention and heat being drawn by the confirmation process.
Two adults were found dead at the San Bernardino North Park Elementary School Monday morning after a school shooting. Another two students were reported to have been taken to the hospital with gunshot wounds. Police are investigating the shootings as part of a murder-suicide. Egyptian police killed seven suspected Islamic militants who they believe were planning more attacks on Christians. Reuters reports that the incident occurred in the southern city of Aswan, just 2 days following bombings of several Christian churches that killed at least 47 men, women, and children. The Springtime 40 Days for Life campaign ended over the weekend with 437 babies having been saved, one abortion center closure, and one abortion mill staff member resignation. The organization claims about 13,000 babies saved since its inception 13 years ago. Psalm 139, 13-14 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." For 200 years, Harvard University's College Song referred to the school as, quote, "the herald of light and the bearer of love till the stock of the Puritans die," unquote. But now, Harvard University is ready to put the Puritans into the grave forever. They're looking for a song that will be more, quote, "inclusive," unquote. The administration is inviting contestants to submit a rewrite of the final line in the song that will sever the Puritan stock forever. Harvard was formed as a Christian seminary in 1636, and the university's seal commits to, quote, "truth for Christ and church," unquote. Hebrews 3:12 warns, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." The 20th Century Fox Company announced yesterday that it will conduct an investigation of TV anchor Bill O'Reilly on more recent sexual harassment charges. O'Reilly and Fox News have already forked over $13 million to five women who accused the anchor of sexual misconduct. Alabama's Republican governor has announced his resignation in the wake of impeachment proceedings. Governor Robert Bentley, also a Baptist deacon, was caught in an affair with somebody else's wife. Meanwhile, Alabama's Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore was in Colorado over the weekend, speaking to a crowd of 1,000 homeschoolers at the Denver Capitol on his suspension from the court for advocating for traditional marriage. He told the crowd of enthusiastic home educators, quote, "Christians are losing their jobs. They're being incarcerated. They're being put under financial stress because they will not buy the sin that the nation pushes on them," unquote. Colorado State Senator Owen Hill, the Republican who chairs the Senate Education Committee in the State Senate, was seen with his four homeschooling children at the Capitol while his wife was out of town. As he chaired the Education Committee, the senator was photographed with his daughter sitting on his lap. New York has become the first state to offer free college to children whose families earn less than $100,000 per year. Senator Bernie Sanders has also introduced a College for All Act in the U.S. Senate, stating that, quote, higher education should be a right for all, not a privilege, unquote. An American war hero lived through three explosions in Afghanistan and Iraq, but Tim Adams would give up his life to save a little boy on March 5th in Indonesia. While serving as a missionary intern, Adams happened to be standing on the beach when he noticed a tide pulling several children under. He lifted one little boy to his shoulders, and in the process of saving the six-year-old child, lost his life under the waves. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, April 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. We want to invite you to join us at the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, on Friday, August 11th and Saturday, August 12th, 2017. We are in a worldview war today, just as Noah was when he was building the ark. The NOAA Conference will equip you to disciple your children in an ungodly generation with the right worldview. Admission to Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is included for your whole family. Register at noahconference.org. That's noahconference.org.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, and have been for the last 25 years. And prior to that, I was homeschooled myself in the 1960s and 1970s, meaning that I've been part of the homeschooling movement for 47 years, I think. Yeah, 48 years ago, my mother was teaching me to read in our home school in Portland, Oregon. That's where it began. It's 1967, I think, 1968. What is that? 48 years ago. 48 years ago, Kevin Swanson, part of the first homeschool movement in the 1960s.
You're an old dude.
Oh, and my mother's still grading my stuff. She's young, and she grades my stuff. She sits in a rocking chair, and she reads my books, and she gives me grades.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get an A plus, I get a B minus, I get a C. She didn't like the tattoo Jesus. She really liked my book, Family Life. She said it was the best book I ever wrote. But anyway, that's besides the point. Today we're going to talk about education, how it's changed since the 1980s when the Christian home education movement began. Now, it began for me in 1967 or whenever it was. But for the modern movement, most of it began with James Dobson. I'm going to get back to James Dobson in just a moment. But first, the rise of sexting. Have you ever heard of sexting? By the way, it just became a formal word in Webster's Dictionary.
Right.
Sexting.
Right. It's a plague.
It's a plague.
It
you got
is,
it.
It's flooding high schools.
Flag. Yes, it's
and middle schools.
Flooding. Yep. Here's an article from the Daily Telegraph. I think this is the UK Daily Telegraph. Boy, it's all over the place. This lady's talking about her 11-year-old daughter in public school having access to all this sexting. A research by Plan International reveals 51% of women aged 15 to 19 are pressured to take racy photos of themselves and to share them. Marquette County, Michigan. I've just taken a couple of articles just today. There's probably an article every other day on this, Bill. I haven't even dealt with this issue, but it's all over the place. It's in the public schools. And here in Marquette County, Michigan, Detective Sergeant Peterson, part of the local sheriff's department, they did a survey of Marquette County high schools, found between 80 and 90% of the students that law enforcement talked to in nearly a dozen schools had sent pictures, including to people out of state. It's 80 to 90%.
Yeah, there was just a case last year here in Colorado where a small town high school was plagued by the very sexting scandal that you're talking about.
It's out of control. It's out of control, and it's shameful. And what is this thing? Well, it's the sharing of pornographic images of oneself.
Right.
It's called sexting. It's shameful. It's prostituting bodies, but it's done wholesale. This isn't just identifying, you know, 16 runaways in Los Angeles. Some hideaway porn shop.
No, these isn't like 16 runaways.
These are tens of millions, or maybe millions, but lots and lots and lots. This is rank and file, little 10-year-olds and 12 and 14 and 16 and 17-year-olds prostituting their bodies wholesale, turning themselves into a prostitute for the entire world to see. And you know, that picture has legs. I don't think these kids understand. That picture has legs. You let something go on the internet,
it will not go away.
It will come back to haunt you.
It can be retrieved. It can be used.
It can be copied.
Yep.
It can be sold.
Mm-hmm.
It can come back when you're 38 years old and your kids have access to it. Well, of course, you know, there's always a chance to repent. In other words, when someone comes to repentance, when they talk about their old life, and perhaps there are pictures of their old life, they can say, well, now that's the old me. This is the new me.
Right.
And so a person can become a new creature in Christ. There's always hope in the gospel. And I think we should say that initially to anybody caught up in pornography or sexting. There's always a new life in Christ. There's always hope in Jesus. And in Christ, we're new creatures. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. There's hope in Jesus. And so this is not the end of the world.
However, that's not the hope that is being proclaimed by the public schools when they uncover such
that's
a
true.
Scandal.
That's true.
What they do is they bring in psychologists.
Yeah.
They bring in law enforcement. They bring in people to counsel.
But the problem is the memories, the shame of it will never go away.
Exactly.
There's
a difference between psychology and Christianity.
Amen.
Christianity says you can be forgiven. Psychology says you're okay, I'm okay.
Well, the thrust of this program is to discuss where the schools have gone since the 1980s or even since the 1960s. Every generation we collect 16 more reasons to leave the public schools. People are lulled into thinking, though, these days that things are better because Trump was just elected as president of the United States. Bill,
I don't think that has any effect on people's view of the public schools. I don't think it has. It may have an effect on their view of the economy and the overall atmosphere in the country, but I don't think that it affects people's view of the public schools. They're either sold out to them or they're saying, we got to get our kids out of here.
Well, and the mass culture, it has gotten worse in just the last year. Bill, I mean, if last year we had hit DEFCON 3, we've hit DEFCON 5 now in 2017. I think it's far worse this year than it was last year. And I was concerned last year, but now I've got even more concern. Why? Because Disney Television and Disney has included explicit homosexual scenes for their kids watching cartoons and for the kids watching Beauty and the Beast, which, by the way, is turning into one of the most popular movies of all time. And certainly the most popular PG movie ever released in the history of Hollywood. And, of course, the PG rating is not a PG-13 rating. It's not an R rating. This is the opportunity to introduce homosexuality and a homosexual scene
to kids.
Tens of millions of 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and 12-year-olds. The culture is far worse today with what happened with Beauty and the Beast and Power Rangers in just the last 2 weeks. And Christian families, I think sometimes they soften to secular education because they've been softened to the world's thinking through media, movies, and culture. But the schools are more and more infected by a bad worldview. Bill, I think it's worse than it was in the 1980s. Partially because you've got so much access to media. I want you to think about in the 1980s when the average kid would have access to a television set in the family room. Why? Because this thing was a 600-pound beast. Remember the television sets in the 1980s? You wanted a decent 42-inch television set. It's going to be 600 pounds, and it's sitting in the living room, and you're watching it with your family. Yep. Huge difference today. Why? Because today, all the kids have access to their personal video devices. They've got their little iPhones, iPads. They got an eye this, they got an eye that. They got 16 of them, and they are able to isolate themselves with their little eye thing and have their own little existentialistic personal experience with their homosexual porn or whatever they want to have access to. Friends, it is way different. The peer group is 1,000 times, well, at least 100 times more saturated in homosexuality and the mass culture and the progressivism and the bad worldviews that come through media in Hollywood today than they were in the 1980s. And they're not just getting it with their families. They're getting it by themselves, and it's much more of a 724 experience than it was in the 1980s. Bill, I think that you've got so much independent access to every media device under the sun that these kids, the peer group that our kids hang out with in the neighborhoods and out on the playground in the public schools, these kids are into sexting. You can bet your money that the average 12-year-old your kid is hanging out with, your 12-year-old boy, he's got a little iPhone and he's visiting his porn sites on a regular basis. You can bet the average girl has sexted herself. And that your kid is hanging out with. And I'm talking about 12-year-old. I'm talking about a 14-year-old.
The average age of exposure to pornography is 13 years.
It's 13 now, yeah. And that's because of the access to iPhones and iPads. The genie is out of the bottle, and these parents are. You say, well, yeah, but all these public school parents are going to have some oversight over their kids.
No,
give me a break.
I just had a serious debate with a guy I spoke last week, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, well, you know, this is not happening at my school. Well, first of all, that's head in the sand. Second thing he was going on was, well, you know, I spend a lot of time with my son, and that's the thing he enjoys the best, is going on retreats, on men's retreats with me and going out shooting with me. And I said, just think of how much more you would be able to spend with him if you didn't have to send him away for 6 hours a day, 180 days a year.
Yeah. Well, things have changed since the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s for the public schools. In the 1960s, of course, the fundamental explosion that occurred in the foundations of all of education in America was taking the worship of God, the fear of God, and the prayer to God out of public schools. When it became illegal for a teacher to express the fear of God, the reverence of God, and the worship of God in the public school classroom, that was the end. That was the end. And you say, well, why is that the end? Because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Bill, a lot of things have happened. I mean, in the 1980s, you did not have the GLSEN clubs in every K-3 school, K-6 school across this country. Now, it's not as in every classroom, but the signs, the GLSEN indoctrination signs are in K-6 schools in Douglas County, the most conservative county practically in the state of Colorado.
Yep. And, you know, the only place I see where the children of Israel were educated by pagans was as a direct result of God's judgment against the fathers. And I think maybe we're under God's judgment because still 80% of evangelicals send their students to public schools. If I were a cult member, would you give me your child for 6 hours a day, 180 days a year? No. Well, that's what most evangelicals are doing. Most Christians are doing that by sending their kids to a public school because that's exactly what it is. It is a cult.
Well,
a cult of secularism.
What you find in most public schools today is the wrong worldview. No, people say there's exceptions.
You don't make good law to the exception.
You know, but by Supreme Court dictate, friends, by Supreme Court dictate, you cannot worship God, praise God, and fear God in a public school classroom. Now, there are exceptions to that. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast.
In a world of transgender bathrooms and Common Core classrooms, American Christians are facing unprecedented attacks on the biblical family. 2,000 years ago, the apostles faced similar hostility to the Christian faith. In Acts 2, Peter called those who had just crucified Jesus a few weeks before to repentance and faith in God's promise of salvation. His closing admonition to these men is just as relevant today as it was then. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What resulted was the greatest outbreak of the gospel the world had ever seen. Join families from across the country for the 2017 NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio on August 11th and 12th, or in Ocean Shores, Washington on October 20th and 21st. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the 2017 NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, Buddy Davis, Emil Zwane, Israel Wayne, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, Cincinnati attendees will receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation just minutes away from the NOAA Conference. Ocean Shores attendees will enjoy a splendid oceanside family getaway on 6 miles of sandy beach on the magnificent Pacific Coast. Go to NOAAConference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's NOAAConference.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. I'm a homeschool father of five on our third generation of homeschooling since my parents started to homeschool us back in the 1960s. And it's still to this day, Bill, it's interesting that there is not a wholesale call on the part of the Christian church to provide children from Christian homes a Christian education. It does not surprise you at all. It seems like pastors are really reticent. In fact, even more reticent today than they were, say, in the 1980s, to join with men like Dr. James Dobson and encourage parents towards a more thorough form of Christian education.
We're being enablers. We're enabling, Christians enable the public schools to continue. Because Christians teach in the public schools, Christians send their students there. Christian pastors often partner, churches rather, often partner with the local public school across the street to let them use facilities and just in hopes of befriending them.
Yeah.
And that's just enabling the system to continue.
Yeah. If they were really committed to tearing down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and Christ, that would be one thing. But it seems to me that, you know, they make their way perhaps into the public school foyer, but there's such minimal opportunity for calling down these imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and Christ. They hardly take advantage of it. And so what happens is more of them rubs off on us than us rubs off on them. I used to talk to my mother about being in the world. And my mom would say, you know, if you come to the point at which more of them are is rubbing off on you, Kev, than you is rubbing off on them, you're probably in the wrong place. And that's mom's wisdom.
Yeah,
there's some wisdom to mom's wisdom.
You know, partnering with the public schools or being friendly with the public schools is much like the DEA agent, you know, saying, okay, I'll partner with the crack dealer across the street. You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You don't get anything from it. You just get soiled. You just don't get anything from it.
Well, the assumption are that the ideas are taught in public schools are neutral. There is no worldview assumed. Now, I took a look at a series of curricula that was provided in a charter school convention. I went to a charter school convention, and I thought, well, what do they teach in these textbooks? And so I walked through, and I just shuffled through over about 10 minutes. And, you know, in 10 minutes, the literature, the history, even the math, I found evolution in the math. I found existentialism. I found polytheism, pluralism and polytheism. I found just about relativism. I found just about every form of humanism, anti-God philosophy that you could find, that you could identify within about 10 or 15 minutes. So it was all there. Now, was there much in terms of the biblical faith? Zero of that.
Zero.
But the funny thing is, I don't think the average kid studying this literature or reading this history or reading this math, these math curriculum, would identify the worldviews that were just under the surface. It was obvious for me because, you know, Bill, I've been studying worldviews for a long time. And so these worldviews, these counter worldviews to a biblical worldview, evidenced themselves immediately to me. But they were right there, front and center for us to see. But, of course, the average American Christian isn't thinking in terms of worldviews. It's all neutral. You know, you go to a school, it's just like buying gas. You don't look for biblical worldview gas. You know, you don't say Conoco is better because it's got a biblical worldview. Right? You don't say that, do you, Bill?
No.
Well, see, now, your average Christian believes, they believe,
the sacred-secular dichotomy.
That ideas are separation. That ideas are neutral, just like gas is neutral.
Yeah.
They believe that ideas are neutral. It's also hard to be contra mundum. It's hard to be against the world. It's hard to run against the flow. It's hard to swim against the tide. And I think the average Christian just doesn't want to swim against the tide. It's hard to swim against the tide, Bill. It takes faith. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? There's a quote by Aristotle, and it's been attributed to Hitler as well. Give me a child until he is seven, and I will show you the man. Give me a child until he's seven, and I have him for life, is what Hitler put it.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be careful where we place our greatest treasures.
Yeah.
And sadly, we are turning them over to the crack dealers of worldview.
Well, Dr. James Dobson has come out again in a two-part series just last week. And I'm thankful for Dr. James Dobson, who actually was something of the founder of the early homeschool movement in the late 70s and early 80s, when he broadcast a series of messages interviewing, I think it was Dr. Raymond Moore, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And that was the official beginning of a gigantic movement, and I think it came out of the Jesus movement, where there was still something of an evangelical response to the gospel. There was an on-fireness. People wanted to disciple somebody, including their own children, for Jesus in the early 1980s. There was a spiritual revival across this nation in the late 70s and early 80s, and the homeschooling movement rode that wave until that spiritual revivalistic reformational movement pretty much fizzled out. Now, sadly, right now, we're sort of in the wasteland. We're in the wilderness of spiritual interest across this nation today, and there's not nearly as much interest in this as there was in the 1980s and 1990s. But we continue to pray for the Spirit of God to come down upon a nation again.
And once again, Dr. Dobson has interviewed Raymond Moore.
This time, a different Raymond Moore. It turns out it's very interesting.
Exodus Mandate.
Yeah, this is the Exodus Mandate Raymond Moore, who we've had on our program as well. A tremendous man of God who's out there on the forefront of this issue. And he was interviewed twice by Dr. James Dobson last week. And we're thankful for that. You know, Pastor Charles Stanley is the only other major pastor across this country who's taken anything of a strong position on Christian education. Bill, it's very rare. It's very rare. Charles Stanley and James Dobson. Can you think of anybody else? I was trying to think of somebody else. It seemed to me Al Mohler mentioned something of an exit strategy a year or two ago. He said, we got to start developing something of an exit strategy.
Yeah, there was about a dozen years ago there was a movement.
Yeah. But very few pastors will take a stand on this. Well, the Word of God is fairly strong. That is, if you stumble one of the little ones who believes in me, and how would you stumble a little one who believes in Jesus, but that you would give him the wrong teachers, the wrong curriculum, the wrong peer group, the wrong culture, the wrong iPod, the wrong iPhone, the wrong inputs. Jesus said, if you stumble one of these little ones that believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So The issue is important, obviously important. And so we encourage parents to make wise decisions on these things. Now, James Dobson came out again in favor of Christian education. And this is the New American article on the interviews that Dr. James Dobson just did last week. The warning was clear. Christian parents should pull their children out of public schools now to protect them from spiritual damage, extreme indoctrination, and other serious problems. Pastors and churches should work to encourage that exodus, helping and encouraging families to put their kids in homeschools or private Christian schools as quickly as possible. The alternative will be the continued decline of the church in America and an acceleration of the nation's decline. That was the explosive message of an evangelical ministry leader speaking as a guest this week on one of America's top Christian radio programs. Speaking to pastors in particular, Raymond Moore said they need to stand up. Parents are going to have to give an account for their children, but pastors are going to have to give an account for their flock, Moore said. They have a charge to shepherd the flock, and part of that is providing Christian education for the children. I'm not talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday school. Now, it's not going to be easy, but they've got to do it. I think that a lot of pastors, if they don't step up, they could lose reward in pastoral work. We have to warn the flock. We have to teach and admonish, and this is an area that must be dealt with. At the end of the first segment, Raymond Moore thanked Dobson for all he has done to raise awareness over the years. If more prominent Christian leaders such as Dobson would stand up, Moore said, the effect would be tremendous. Dobson seemed pleased too, quote, it's nice having somebody else to beat this drum besides myself, said Dobson, who founded both Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council. He said, I've said it for many, many years, and I don't regret a moment of it. Memorable words from an aged man who's been in the battle for, what, 45 years, Bill?
And it needs to be said again and again and again. We need to beat the drum on get your kids out of the public school. Do not sacrifice your children to Moloch.
Well, my encouragement is to teach the principles. Pastors need to teach the principles. Just simply saying get them out, you got to be careful with that. For one thing, I've seen instances, Bill, in which they did that, but they didn't put Jesus into it. You know, they cleaned the house of the one demon.
Yeah.
And guess what happens if you don't bring Jesus in?
Yeah, seven more can leave.
That's right. And they're worse than the first. So let's be careful. Let's teach the principles. Don't just say get out of the public schools. Just ask the question, where's the fear of God here? If you are thinking about delegating the education of your children, the bulk of it, walk into a place, ask two questions. First question, do you do the business of providing knowledge and wisdom and understanding to young men or young women here? If they say, no, we just change tires here, then it's probably not an educational establishment, right? Okay, first question. First question, are you guys in the business of inculcating knowledge? First question, if they say, no, we're not, then probably not the place. Okay, if they say, yeah, actually we do that, then the second question is this. What do you teach as the foundation, the very foundational principle of all of knowledge and wisdom? If they say, it's getting your condom on straight, you're in the wrong place. If they say, it's the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, it's a good start. It's
great
a really
start.
Good start.
Very good start.
It's a good start. Yeah. Well, my friends, teach the principles. Just simply ask, where's the fear of God? Where is the preeminence of Christ in this textbook? What is the best way to do Deuteronomy 6:7, in which we are to teach the Word of God as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down, and to see to it that the Word of God is as a front light between our children's eyes and is on the posts and the gates. That is, they're always, always, always running into the Word of God. It's integrated. It's integrated.
And you know, people say, well, you're just brainwashing your kids. You know what my answer is?
Well, everybody does that.
I want my kids brainwashed.
Yeah.
I want them washed with the Word of God.
And Bill, everybody brainwashes.
Exactly.
It's just pick your brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, or C. Which of the brainwashing are you going to choose for your kids? Well, the Word of God is clear. Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And oh, be so careful. Be so careful with peer groups and companions. Remember, the companion of fools will be destroyed. Just remember that. If your children establish their companionships mainly with the fools, they will be destroyed, according to this proverb. And also remember that family relationships are important. God uses parents to reach their children for Jesus. Just remember that. You say, well, why fathers bring your children up in the nurture of the Lord? Why didn't it say youth pastors, day school pastors, Sunday school teachers? Well, why didn't it talk about others bringing our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Why fathers? Why mothers? Well, God has assigned a means by which our children are to come to know Jesus. I'm not saying it's the only means, but it seems to be the preeminent throughout Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, 7, Ephesians 6, 4, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, chapter 2, oh yeah, chapter 3, and chapter 4, and chapter 5, and chapter 6, and chapter 7. The Word of God seems to prioritize parents. I understand that Jean-Jacques Rousseau didn't do that. He had five children, dumped them on the steps of an orphanage on the day they were born, and then went out and told the world how to educate children, which involved getting his kids out of his own life and handing them over to professionals who were funded by the state. And this became the beginning of the vision for the compulsory attendance laws, which began in the 19th century. Okay, so the guy who came up with modern public education, who had immense influence upon John Dewey, this guy, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, abandoned his five children on the steps of an orphanage on the day they were born, and then wrote the book Emile on how to educate a child in the modern age. Well, let's not follow Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Let's go with Deuteronomy 6:7 and Ephesians 6:4 and Proverbs 1:7 and whatever else the Word of God has to say about it. Well, my friends, if you'd like a summary of the biblical principles as best as I've been able to assemble them on the issue of education, get a copy of my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Grab a copy of Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. My little book on education, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.